Amen. If you have your Bible or a Bible app on your phone or whatever, I'd love for you to open that up to Psalm 23. We're going to be spending 13 weeks in this psalm, and today is week number 2. Although I would like to say here as we begin, I don't know about you, but I absolutely loved that extra hour of tossing and turning last night. They say, oh, you get an extra hour of sleep, but dogs and kids, they don't have a clock to reset. So they're like getting up at my dog has this tendency to like just sit on my chest and stare me in the face and have me read his mind, which usually has something to do about pooping outside or food, one of the two. So anyway, I got up early with them. But I am glad that you're here today. I'm excited to share with you the second message on the 23rd Psalm. Last week, we talked about these five words that were so beautiful and so important. The Lord is my shepherd. And the neat thing is that you and I could write a book about a subject matter that we know very little about. And it would be pretty obvious if somebody read it that we didn't know exactly what we were doing. But let me tell you something. David is an expert in the subject of a shepherd. He was one. He was the son of one. He was called from the business of shepherding to go into the presence of all the people to be brought forth as the next king of God's people. He tells stories about rescuing his sheep from the mouths of a lion or a bear. And he talks about how God enabled him to stand up against those foes. David knew what it meant to be a shepherd. Last week, when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he knew exactly what he was saying. I hope we do too now. But you know what? When you come to this second phrase, only three words, "I lack nothing." It's such an interesting phrase. Some of the older versions, if you're like me and you memorized these verses back when you were a kid, is in the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Thank you. I shall not want. Some of the other more modern translations use this of understanding that I have everything that I need. But here's the thing, folks. When you come to this passage of Scripture, there's two different tracks that you can take. You could talk about or think about that David lacks nothing because he's the king. And all he has to do is snap his fingers, ring a bell, call one of his servants, and whatever he desires, it will be had. If he wants someone dead, he just has to simply order it and it is done. So this idea of David saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." I think that David speaks these words not from the background that I don't lack anything because I have the power to produce anything I want, anything I need. That I have people around me to do my beck and call. And whatever I desire, even if it is a woman on a building rooftop far away, I can have what I want. I lack nothing. But I think really, if you look at it from that perspective, that you come up short. Because I think David here speaks from the context that means so much more. That because God was his shepherd, that he not only had the power to bring everything that he needs to him, but he had the relationship that understood that God was going to provide everything that he needed. Now here's an important question. How do you get to a beautiful place like that? How did David get to this beautiful place of being able to look out at life and say, "I lack nothing"? Think about those three words. Such a positive statement. Such a bold statement. Obviously, those words are the sentiment offered by a man, by a person who understands perfectly his place in life. That is the life of a sheep being shepherded by Almighty God. That was how David thought about this. And you think about it, he says, I shall not be in want. That word want there that's used is a much broader meaning than what we would first think, because the main concept is not lacking or deficient because I have the ability to produce something, but because I have a beautiful relationship with, I know that someone is going to be there to take care of me. Here, let me give you a kind of a silly illustration, but boy, it really brought this home to me. My wife, Arlene, has been gone for a few days. She went down to Chesapeake Beach, Maryland. Never heard of it. A little place on the Chesapeake Bay. And she's been speaking at a women's conference the last few days. She's on her way home. But it was interesting because when she left me, I don't have the greatest reputation of being a good bachelor. I struggle with the necessities of life, maybe. I'm not sure. But my wife was so sweet when she left because she left me things to eat. She cleaned the house, swept the floors, and all that kind of thing. The kitchen, there weren't any dishes on the counter, there weren't any dishes in the sink, there weren't any dishes in the dishwasher. It had been loaded, run, and emptied and put away. I'd been living out of a laundry basket for a couple of days. The drawers were empty of socks and but here's the thing. She did all of that. She did all the laundry and she put it all away. My drawers were in the drawers. I'm sorry, that's a terrible joke. But anyway, she did all that and she said, John, socks are in here, all this kind of stuff. All the empty laundry baskets were empty. She just did all of these things, and I know that she did it because she wanted my existence with her being away to be as easy as possible. Okay, I got to cut this sermon short because I got to get home early. She's on her way. I don't know how you can destroy a place in 2.5 days, but I did. And I don't want her to think that I don't appreciate what she did or how she tried to take care of me. And when I look at her, I understand her motivation. I understand her heart. I know why she did these things. Because she loves me. But a lot of times, when we try to show someone that we know that they care about us, we fail miserably. And I think David had mastered this, that he could look at God in heaven and he could say, God, the Lord, you are my shepherd. I lack nothing. It's a psalm of appreciation and a psalm of understanding and identifying that David knows exactly what God has done for him. How do you get to this beautiful place? It's you get there because you understand and you appreciate the care of the shepherd. Think about the life between a sheep and a shepherd. A sheep doesn't look for water. A shepherd provides the water or provides the place of water. And all of a sudden the sheep looks up and says, oh my goodness, there's some water. I think I'll get a drink. The sheep doesn't think about what he's going to eat. Just all of a sudden the shepherd directs them into a beautiful valley full of nourishment. It's, oh wow, look at this. I think I'll just eat until I'm full. Sheep just keep their head down and they do what they do. And they're oblivious to the dangers around them. Why? Because they trust the care of the shepherd. They know that the shepherd is going to be there. We're going to talk in a few weeks about the rod and thy staff. They comfort me. The comfort, and I guess we can just skip this sermon now, but the comfort of the rod and the staff is the protection that it brings to the sheep. We think about the rod and the staff is correction, and it is. But it's also being used to make sure that the sheep are safe. Here's the thing, folks. When you read this passage, what's your perspective? I lack nothing. Most of us can say that because we're blessed. We have everything that we need. Most of us have everything that we want. But that's not the perspective that God wants us to have from this passage. He wants us to have the perspective here for our love for and relationship with the shepherd who provides everything that we need. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They don't toil, they don't spin, yet your heavenly Father makes them beautiful. This kind of relationship comes from understanding the love and the care of the shepherd. Really, it's all about, and let me throw the word here. This is it, folks. The word is contentment. Making sure that we are content. It's all about contentment. What Paul said, I know what it's like to have plenty. I know what it's like to be in need. He says later that I've learned to be content in all circumstances. That's understanding and appreciating the love of the shepherd. Here, let me throw a passage of Scripture in here. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Look at what it says here. I love this. He says, but God without contentment, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I mean, we're not righteous, but we're righteous through Him. We're not holy, but we have His holiness in our life. I mean, we're sinners, but yet He's forgiven us. We're worthless, but yet He redeemed us. That's the understanding. We are not godly, but when we develop this relationship of contentment, knowing that He is going to be everything that we need, then we have an understanding about where He wants us to go. Interesting, Denny there brought up the book that we're studying in Wednesday night men's group called The Man in the Mirror by Pat Morley. And in that book, one of the first chapters, actually, he talks about how we're in the rat race. And he makes the point in the book that, you know what, you can win the rat race, but if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. I found an interesting number the other day. It was the average square foot of a house in America and how it's grown from some decades ago. It was in the hundreds of square feet, small clapboard kind of houses, to now the average is almost 2,700 square feet. The average. You have many homes that people build that are 9, 10, 11, 12,000 square feet. And why is that? That's because always bigger, always grander, always more. I've often wondered, and maybe somebody can explain this, why it is that when we're young, we're raising kids, we have a small home, and then we finally get rid of the kids, and we buy this big home that we use very little of. It's because it's the culture that we live in. And I think what David is saying here is that to understand the love of the shepherd and what the shepherd brings to your life, you got to get off the wheel. You can't be running the rat race. You can't be striving to keep up with anybody. You have to learn to be content with whatever you can. Here's the thing. When you think about the shepherd, I jotted down three words here. Let me give them to you. In the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, the sheep can depend on the shepherd for strength, for resources, for time. I told you last week about a little shepherd boy over in Ethiopia that I had some contact with. I remember talking with him, and he just talked about how the sheep learn his voice, and then they just stay around him. So you don't have a fence. These animals are just loose. There's other people's animals here. How do you keep them together? How do you get them and go somewhere else or whatever? And he said, they follow me, the shepherd. And here's the thing, folks. The Lord is my shepherd. He wants to be. And if we want to get to the point where we don't feel like that we lack anything, not because we have the ability to produce everything, but because we have the dependence on Him to know that He cares enough to give us the strength we need, the resources we desire, and the time to develop the relationship that He wants with each of us. I love Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 2. I have it here for you. He says, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. That means you and your children and their children. He wants this to continue. He wants this kind of contentment to be contagious in your life and in generations that are to come. He says, as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. That's what we say we're chasing. We want to enjoy. And he says here that in order to enjoy life, you have to pay attention to the decrees and the commands. You have to mirror and model contentment for your children and your grandchildren. And you have to depend on Him. Why? Because you know that He is your shepherd. And I pray that is who we are. We're just 8 words in to the 23rd Psalm. But oh, what a message He wants to give to us. And you know what? I don't think we're all there yet. I'm not sure any of us is there yet. That beautiful place of understanding of who He is to us and for us and how we can depend on Him. But let's get there together in obedience. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for this day that You've given us. Thank You, Lord, for this word that You have shared with us. I pray, Lord, that we will live lives that demonstrate that you are our shepherd in any and all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.